I would ask for the gift of singing. But gift is not something that you ask, it's something that you accept. As Christians, we are very happy that Jesus Christ has paid the penalty of our sins. The price has been paid. But I have a question for us. Why do Christians still suffer or experience the consequences of their sins? That's a big question. Let us pray. Our gracious God and righteous Heavenly Father, we praise your great name. We thank you for expressing your love the best way possible can by sending your one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer on a cruel cross on our behalf. This morning we can rejoice that the penalty of our sins have been paid and we will not face the everlasting or eternal consequences of sin. For there is now no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. We praise your name and we give you thanks. We pray that your message will go forth and being led by your blessed Holy Spirit, take full control. We pray that souls will be blessed this morning, lives been changed and rearranged, and your name be glorified. In the precious name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Let us turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Well-known verse. Ephesians 1 verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. This Bible verse is very powerful. It's well known among us. But when we read it over and over and over, we go deeper in it. Because it is bottomless. In him we have redemption through his blood. The blood of Christ is potent, having great power. But this power that it has is exceedingly great, because his grace is limitless. And so we can be well assured that our salvation is secured. We cannot be saved and lost, because the grace of God is limitless and his blood is efficacious. What a big word. Efficacious. It's a word that we all should know. Successful in producing the desired or intended result. It is successful in producing the intended result at all times. There is none of us who have come in contact with the blood of Christ and be lost. None save and some save and some lost. Nothing like that. It is just mere ignorance why some do not understand how powerful the blood of Christ is. And that's why he shed his precious blood. Because there was no other blood that was good enough to pay the price of sin. Sin is very serious. For God to send his only Son to shed his precious blood. The only blood that could cleanse us. If he had not shed his precious blood, we would be doomed. There would be no hope. But thanks be to God that it is his goodness that have drawn us unto him. The Bible verse gives us good news that Jesus Christ paid the price of our sins. Yet many ways we still experience or suffer the consequences of our sins. For example, a drug dealer became a Christian in prison will still experience the consequence of his past sins, even if he confesses sins. A born-again Christian who falls in adultery may lose his family, his career, etc. Even after he confesses and forsakes his sin, the consequence of his sins still remain. Coming to Christ will not erase the temporal or earthly effects of sin. We can attest to that. Rather, our salvation guarantees that we will not face the eternal consequences of sin. Romans 6 and verse 23, another well-known Bible verse, tells us that the consequence of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. But what is death? Death is simply a separation. When God said we should be dead to this world, we should be separated from the world. So what is physical death? The physical body separated from the spiritual. It's just all about separation. That's what death is. And that's why we mourn. Because there is separation. That's what death does. So there is physical separation, which we are all appointed to. The spiritual separation, which we were once. We were all spiritually dead. And those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior still remain spiritually dead. If I said physically, I'm spiritually. So that is why they need to be born again. There is also death called eternal death. Sinners deserve to be eternally separated from God and His holiness. That's eternal death. There is no hope. They're doomed. But whilst there is life, the sinner experiences spiritual death. If he dies in his sin, or if the rapture occurs, he would be left behind and is sentenced for eternal death. There's a little saying that dog eat your supper. Have you ever heard that expression? He's done with. Now is the acceptable time to accept the Lord as personal Savior. Not tomorrow, not later, but now. Later may never come for anyone. But on the cross, Christ paid the penalty of sins with His own blood. Let us turn to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. It says, For God made him who? Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might, make a note of the word might, become the righteousness of God in Christ. Might. Because one must accept and believe in Christ for his salvation. Those of us who accepted Christ, it's not might anymore for us. It is might for those who do not accept, now for those who remain in their sins, for those who remain in condemnation. God is still calling you that you might become the righteousness of God. Praise be to God that we Christians are the righteousness of God. And what do we receive being the righteousness of God? Holiness. Holiness. Sinner friends, if I were a sinner, I would be real jealous of this, of the life that I am living. Look around at our Christian brethren. Look how lovely we look. Look how lovely they look. Because Christ had cleaned them up and clothed us in our right mind. And today we can say hallelujah. Thank God for saving grace. Christ paid the penalty of our sins. But we'll soon learn why we suffer the consequences, the temporal consequences. So it's on the basis of Christ's perfect sacrifice, those who believe are no longer under God's condemnation. Romans 8, verse 1. When I say that verse, I always remember Brother Purcell, his favorite Bible verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And if you stop there, Brother Bonnie would continue. He would finish it for you. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What Spirit? The Spirit of holiness. The Spirit of holiness. So it is important to understand that when a believer in Christ experiences consequence of sin, it is not because he's under God's condemnation or under wrath or under retribution. It's not like that. Believers are under grace. Romans 6 verse 14 tells us that, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. That's what happened when you're under grace. We are no more slave to sin. We were slave to sin when we were sinners, acting in our own way. And being under the law, you become a slave to sin. But thank God for his grace that we have in Christ Jesus. Jesus took the wrath, he took our wrath, or the wrath of God upon himself. For it pleased God the Father to bruise him. Isaiah 53 verse 10. It pleased God the Father to bruise him. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. The Lord Jesus Christ took the wrath of God upon himself. The wrath that we deserve, Jesus Christ took that upon himself for us. And so there is therefore now no condemnation to each one of us who is in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God. Sin consequences, or the experience by believers, are classified in four ways. We'll just look at those four ways. One, universal consequences. We can make a note of that. Natural consequences, instructional consequences, and disciplinary consequences. Let me repeat the four ways. Universal consequences, natural consequences, instructional consequences, and disciplinary consequences. Universal consequences. These are consequences experienced due to original sin. Original sin. So some of sin's consequences are experienced perpetually by every human being, whether Christians or non-Christian, on the earth. Because we are all children of Adam. We have that in common. Sinners and saints. We were all children of Adam. We all get sick and grow old. I've been here 2 years now. I'm looking older. We all eventually die physically. Some of us have passed on. And we remain. We do not know when is our time. But it's nothing to fear. We'd be right into the presence of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Physical death is not something for us to fear. There's no fear for this Christian when it comes to physical death. We all face natural disaster. That's a consequence, universal consequence. We all have weeds growing in our garden, for those of us who have garden. Weeds, we have to be constantly keeping our garden clean, keeping it from weeds. Universal consequences. We are all children of Adam. Christians or sinners, we cannot avoid that. Natural consequence. We all live in a world of cause and effect, where the law of sowing and reaping is still in full effect. Have you ever heard the saying, what you sow is what you reap? That's the law. We live, that's natural consequence. So, Proverbs 6 and verse 27. Proverbs 6 verse 27. Shall we read it? Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? And if we read 28, it is similar. Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared or scorched? You get some fire and put it in your bosom and see. You would be set on fire. You take off your shoes. I remember as a little boy, I stepped on just a little fire coal, just a little piece. I felt it in my heart. And it's the foot. I felt it in my heart. Can a man walk on coals and his feet not be scorched? If you play with fire, what's going to happen? You get burned. If you play with fire, you get burned. That's what happened. In much the same way, those who dabble in sin don't need to wonder if there will be consequences. Only when and how drastic they will be. That's what it is. If you steal, you should expect to be caught and face the natural consequences that follow the sin of theft. If you resist arrest, you'll be heaping up or piling up more consequences on yourself. If you engage in immoral sex, it's like carelessly handling something only to have it harm you. You are playing with fire. You're playing with fire. David learned that the momentary pleasure of sin, can we really afford to jeopardize the joy that we have for a moment of sin? It doesn't worth it. It's only a moment. But burning is coming after. David learned that it brings, give him long days and nights. Long days and nights of physical and spiritual suffering. After committing adultery with Bathsheba, he experienced distressing consequences of his sins. Psalm 32 tells us that he described what he experienced as physical and emotional suffering, guilt, and loss of energy. In his prayer of confession in Psalm 51, David refers to the uncleanness he felt following his act of adultery, the constant pain of being first confronted by his sin, the loss of joy, the feeling of being estranged. The word estranged means alienated or separated. You feel far from God, estranged from God. These consequences are natural, harmful, and irreversible. Natural, harmful, and irreversible. If you play with fire, you will get burned. The third one is instructional consequences. Instructional. The name speaks for itself. God allows some of sin consequences to remain in our lives to teach us the heinous nature of sin and to remind us to depend on God's grace. Instructional. Sin is serious enough problem for God to have sent his son into this world to die. We should not take sin lightly. In the face of its consequences, we should humble ourselves and seek God's kingdom and his righteousness all the more. When Ananias and Sapphira were disciplined for their sin, you remember the sin they committed? Right, they lie unto the Holy Spirit. Lie to the Holy Spirit. It was instructive for the church. And that can be read in Acts 5. Great fear seized the church and all word about these events. Great fear. So these are written for our learning. And we should take heed. When we look at this, we see that God truly hates sin. God hates sin. And we should take heed from these. They told lie and fell down. Gave up the ghost. Instructional to teach us how much God hates sin. And serious consequences may take us if we do not heed to these instructions. The fourth, disciplinary consequences. Disciplinary consequences. Some of sin consequences are the result of God teaching us as a father should to his children. So children, when father corrects you, it's for your good. And it is because they take delight in you. If they punish you, beat you mercilessly, that's not correction. That's considered a crime. If you delight in your son, you correct him in the way God wants us to. So in our correction, we remember our emotions, that we should not do it out of our emotion. It is out of an art of love to correct the child because you delight in him. So there's a difference between penalty for sin and discipline for sin. A difference between penalty for sin and discipline for sin. We know that the penalty of our sin have been paid for. But we can speak the truth that we have been disciplined for sin. That's not been paid for. That's ordained, that's allowed for us so that we can learn. God's children experience discipline designed to guide them back to the right path. Discipline designed to guide them back to the right path. That's what is called chastening. Chastening. Thank God for his chastening. Thanks be to God for his chastening. Thank God. As I mentioned earlier in one of my messages, that it's a bad thing to go astray, to be chastened. But it is a good thing to be chastened by God to bring you back on the right path. Hebrews 12, verse 5 and 6. It says, "My son, do not despise the chastening." Yes, Hebrews 12, verse 5b. We're looking at, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him." Verse 6, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son he receives." So those who don't want to say thanks for your chastening, you have been chastened. Every son he receives. Proverbs 3, is verse 11 to 12, is carry a similar meaning. I'll just read it. "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction." Another word for chastening is correction. If you beat a child to death, you didn't correct him, you killed him. So we must think of the word correction. "For whom the Lord loves, he corrects or chastens, just as a father the son in whom he delights." That's a very lovely expression. In whom he delights. We cannot fathom that. Oh, does God delight in us? Look how wretched we were. How sinful we were. Such a worm as I, the songwriter would put it. We were dirty and in mess. And the Lord saved us out of his love. Clean us up and clothe us in our right mind. That we can say, "Abba, Father, we adore thee." Note how many of God's children undergo discipline. Everyone. Everyone. Hebrews 12 and verse 8. Could you put Hebrews 12 verse 8? Because it's not me say so. Hebrews 12, verse 8. "But if you are without chastening, of which," did you say all? "Of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons." We are all wayward at times. So illegitimate,
That means that you are not born again. You're not born again. You are not one of his. All those who belong to Christ have become partakers of his chastening. God's purpose in allowing us to experience disciplinary consequences of sin, true to his nature, is perfect. It's perfect. For it's only that which is good and perfect come from God, the Father of light, in whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. Because he's the source. He's perfection. What he does is perfect. God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. In his holiness. So chastening, let me just reiterate that it's discipline designed to guide us back to the right path. The church in Corinth provides a good example of Christians facing the disciplinary consequences of their sin in partaking of the Lord's table in an unworthy manner and bringing God's displeasure. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 30 tells us that for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. They are dead. It doesn't mean that every sickness is chastening. No. This is just a tool that was used, that God used for these Corinthian Christians. And it is very well active in this present time, if we partake of the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. What makes them different from us? Or what makes us different from them? It may very well happen to us because it's chastening. We see similar disciplinary action taken in 2 Samuel 12. Even after David confessed his sin and was forgiven, God allowed certain consequences to befall him and his household. God allows us to experience some of the temporal consequences of sin to show his love for us. It's all about love. That's why I said, do not detest it. Just accept it and be thankful to God for his chastening. Sometimes we are wayward and don't realize it. But when he chastens us, then we realize. It's all out of love. If God never disciplined his trained children, he would not be a good father. He would not be a good father. If we were never disciplined or ever suffer the consequences of our wrong action, we would never learn from the wrong that we do. We tend to learn from our mistakes more readily than we learn from our successes. So God allows the temporal consequences of sin for our good, but he saves us from the eternal consequence of sin. Praise be to God. If there are any sinners here, I hope you're listening, that there is an eternal consequence of sin. So you can stay there and dabble in sin and think all is well. The devil is just trying to trick you. He may put things that glitter like gold in your eyes. But there's a day of wrath. A day of wrath. No sin will escape. No sin of the sinner will escape. Thanks be to God that Jesus Christ had paid the price of our sin. We will never experience the second death, which is the lake of fire. Thanks be to God. Believers in Christ are promised that the consequence or the curse of sin will be completely removed one day, and nothing shall harm or destroy the Christian. Thanks be to God. So when we are chastened, we must be thankful to God. Thankful to God for his chastening. But let us, by God's grace, and with the help of the blessed Holy Spirit, with whom we are sealed, keep us from falling and keep us from decisively partaking in sin, willfully sinning. Let us totally depend on him and cast all our mind on Christ Jesus. And let his word dwell in us richly, that we may not sin against him. For his name's sake, amen.